Hey church, it is great to see you today. I am so thankful for the men who come up, and the young men as well, but the men who come up and read what we, I guess, call our long scripture reading. They all are prepared and just read with enthusiasm, and I just picture God smiling to hear His Word being read so well. I am so thankful for you. I am so thankful for this church family. It's just so humbling to know that you allow me to be here, and I love you so much for it. I mean, there's always so many great things going on. Isn't it exciting to know that we're a church family that is constantly doing things? I mean, today's one of those kinds of days, right? There's a lot of bad weather outside, it appears, coming, right? Rain and such. But, so there's no really reason for you to leave, you know? So, when we get done, hey, I'm going to break the word to you here, and then we're going to go break bread together in the back. And then I believe there's going to be some eggs hidden and some eggs found, and then we have leaders of light. And I am so excited about everything that's going on. So thank St. Taylor and Katie and all those who've worked so hard. And thank y'all for bringing food and such. As Justin said, if you don't bring food, we don't eat. So, you know, there's a lot of good to it. But I just appreciate y'all. I just want to say that so many good things happening. And you're a very special congregation of people. Starting a new series today. Still talking about going along with our theme, but really looking at things in a different way, maybe perhaps about God. Maybe you thought of God as grace, and rightfully so. God is love, God is mercy, God is justice, all the things we've talked about. Behold our God, right? The psalmist said that we should all stand in awe, all inhabitants of the earth should stand in awe of Him. That's our mission, that's our goal, that's our theme, that's who we should be. Well, maybe you haven't thought that God is the always God. And over the next few weeks, I'm going to try to break that down, and you can obviously see what we're going to talk about today as we start this out. But I want us to understand that God has not changed. That's the whole point behind this. The God of Genesis 1 is the God of March of 2024. The throne that He sat on in Genesis 1, and even before Genesis 1, is the same throne He sits on today. The way He operated in the Old Testament, yeah, maybe it's a little different today, but there are a lot of things that He's still doing that are the same. And my attempt at that is to break that down and show you. Because I don't want you to think that God is fading, that God is changing. You see, there are people in this world that says, oh, the Bible needs to change. It needs to adapt. No, it doesn't. The Bible's the living Word. And God doesn't change. It's amazing to me how, you know, He wrote or had the New Testament wrote in Koine Greek. Koine Greek is a language that is dead. It's not like English that keeps evolving, right? The English language, words change meanings and such. Koine Greek is a language that's dead, so what it meant when it was written is what it means today. That's the brilliance of God. You see, the Bible doesn't change, and we don't adapt it to sin and lifestyle and different things like that. No, we adapt our sin and our lifestyle. We better get it back to God. Because God is always God. He is the always God. The God that was pursuing people in the Bible is still pursuing people today. The God that was restoring people in the Bible, this is good news. He's still restoring people today. The God that provided for people in the past and in the Bible is the same God that's still providing for us today. He has not changed, and He will not ever change. And that is really a blessing. It is such a blessing to know that the God we read about and learn about, written in the books on the pages of our Bibles is the same God we serve today. I am so thankful that that is the way it is. Because my mind couldn't handle it if it was complex. I said this in class this morning. If we had to figure out equations and different formulas and different ways to look at things, I would struggle with that. But God wrote it for me. And He wrote it for you. So that we can understand and apply it. The God who revealed Himself, we're going to look at this today, at least part of it, as the great I Am, the eternal, excuse me, the self-existent, the infinite, the all-powerful, the all-knowing God. This series is my attempt to remind us that that I Am is still the I Am. And so today I want us to talk about understanding that God is always communicating. Now we know from Scripture that God spoke the very word we have into existence by breathing it through His Spirit into these writers. In fact, in a simple reading of Genesis, we can see how God spoke things into existence itself. We discover 10 times in the book of Genesis, or at least in the chapter 1 of it, "and God said." And God said, or "and God spoke." Whatever He spoke came into existence or was obeyed. Wouldn't it be great today that every word that God speaks is still obeyed? Think how much different this world would be if the world was still obeying God's word. But we know in Genesis 1, everything was in order and it was doing what God said, but by Genesis 3, man fouled that up. But we can look further in the Bible. And we can read in the Old Testament and learn how God spoke to His people through prophets. He would speak to these different prophets and tell them what they should say. In fact, you can look through all the prophetic messages and you can see that they said, "And the Lord said, and the Lord said, and the Lord said, and the Lord said, and the Lord said." We go on and on, right? It's what God said that they said. In fact, we're going to look at one of those prophets today, Moses. And we're going to learn how God spoke with him. But when we get to the New Testament, okay, we see Genesis 1, we see the prophetic age, we get to the New Testament. God spoke through Jesus Christ. In fact, the first couple of verses in the book of Hebrews reminds us of this, Hebrews 1, 1 and 2. God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these days spoken to us by His Son, whom He has appointed heir of all things, through whom also He made the worlds. We read about God speaking and communicating throughout Scripture. And so the purpose of today's message is to remind us that God who spoke in the Old Testament, who communicated in the Old Testament, is very much still communicating today. The I Am of the Old Testament is the I Am of today. The God on the throne in the Old Testament is the God on the throne today. Jesus Christ, the Hebrew writer said, is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That means that Jesus Christ is also God. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Why is this important? Why is it important to hear that God is still communicating today? Because when a challenging situation arises, we need to hear what God says about it. When a decision needs to be made, we need to hear what God is saying about that decision. When wisdom is needed, we need to hear what God says about it. Now, let's unpack all of this and let's look at Exodus chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3, we're going to read together verses 1 through 6. Exodus 3, 1 through 6. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the back of the desert and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire from the midst of a bush. So he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, but the bush was not consumed. Familiar with this story, right? Then Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush does not burn. So when the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, God called to him from the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. He's speaking to Moses, right? He's communicating to Moses. And he, Moses, said, Here I am. Then he, God, said, Do not draw near this place. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. Now, let me just clarify for any confusion, if there is any confusion, God communicates today with us. But God doesn't communicate with us like he did with Moses. We'll talk about that more later. But God is not directly talking to us, but here he is directly, through a burning bush, talking to Moses. It's an amazing scene. It's an amazing sight. The way God spoke to Moses is defined also in Exodus 33:11, at least the first part of that. So the Lord spoke to Moses face to face, as a man speaks to his friend. That's a unique way that God spoke to Moses, right? It's a unique way that he communicated with him. Now, God doesn't speak to you that way. He doesn't speak to me that way. And before we feel sorry for ourselves, we need to understand that just because he doesn't speak to us face to face as a dear friend, like he did to Moses through a burning bush, doesn't mean that God is not communicating today. You see, today, some things I want you to know is you can be sure that God is communicating. You can be certain of what God is saying and teaching through that communication. And we can still have an experience, not quite like Moses, but we can have an experience with the God who communicates. One author put it this way. If you have trouble hearing God communicate, you are in trouble at the very heart of your Christian experience. You see, if you can't hear what God is saying today, then we've got a problem in the heart. We've got a problem. If you can't hear what God is teaching today, then there is a problem, and we need to resolve that. Jesus put it like this in John 10, verse 27, My sheep. Are we his sheep? That's the question you have to ask. Are you his sheep today? My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. The I am that communicated with Moses in Exodus 3 is the same I am that's still communicating with us today. Well, Terry, how is he doing that? I'm glad you asked. Let's break this down together with some points that just happen to start with the letter C. You know how I work. God is always communicating to us through His creation. You might have looked up in the sky when there's a very challenging time, a very difficult time, and say, God, can you just write it in the sky? Could you just write what I'm supposed to do? Write and tell me that you're here in the sky? Well, guess what? He does it every day. God does it every day. In fact, Psalm 19, 1 and 2, you're familiar with this, right? The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament, or the sky above, shows His handiwork. Day unto day pours, utters speech, and night unto night reveals knowledge. I am fascinated by mountains. Now, hear me out. I've not been to a lot of mountains. But I've watched shows where these guys climb mountains. I do not have a desire to climb a mountain, so I will not ever do that. But I'm fascinated by them. I'm fascinated by the vastness of a mountain. For instance, Mount Everest, it intrigues me, but it also intimidates me. I can actually picture myself standing. I've never been to that part of the world, and I've never stood before Mount Everest. Anybody ever been to Mount Everest? I didn't even think to ask that. Okay, I haven't either. But at the end of the day, I can imagine myself, it's 6 miles, right, up above sea level. And so, standing at the foot of that mountain, can you imagine looking up you can't even see farther than that. And standing at the vastness of that mountain. Sometimes we feel pretty good about ourselves, right? I'm big. I'm strong. I'm mighty. Can you imagine standing at the foot of Mount Everest and realizing how small we really are? You see, nobody stands at the foot of Mount Everest and says, look at what I've done. Because of God's creation and the creation of mountains and things like Mount Everest and other large mountains and peaks in this world, we can stand at the foot of that through His creation and say, I hear you, God. I hear you loud and clear. You are far greater than me. You are far greater than I am. It's why Paul wrote in Romans 1, 18 through 20, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, because what may be known of God is manifest or made known in them. For God has shown it to them. How? For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. God communicates to us every day through creation. God, how do I know you're alive? Watch the sunrise in the morning. God, how do I know you're alive? Watch the sunset this evening, if you can see it today. How do I know you're alive? Get up and listen to nature. Wake the woods up. How do I know you're alive? Look at the vastness of a mountain or the vastness of the sea. Look at the way this earth is on its axis and the way things are just tilted just far enough away or just close enough that we don't freeze or burn up. Look at all of that and say, God, are you still alive? God, are you still communicating? If we can look at that and say that He's not, then shame on us. How foolish are we to look at the complexity of what we are, the human body, and where we live through all creation? How can we not say, God is not saying, here I am, right here? By just placing our finger on our beating pulse, or filling our lungs with oxygen, by the way, neither of which we command or have anything really to do with. We've got to know that we're not the ruler of our domain. You see, there is a Creator. That Creator created you. He created me and everything we know. And He's speaking through that creation to us, trying desperately to get our attention. How does God still communicate? Through creation. How else does He communicate? Through our conscience. Now, hear me out. I probably should put the word heart there, but I need to see, okay? But I think I can make it fit. All of us have a conscience. Paul wrote in Romans 2, 14 through 15, "For when Gentiles who do not have the law by nature do the things in the law, these, although not having the law, are a law to themselves, who show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and between themselves their thoughts accusing or else excusing them." Now, because you have a conscience and I have a conscience is a way that God can communicate with us, and I'm going to explain that in a moment, but hear me out. Sometimes we can't fully trust our conscience. When we get out of fellowship with God, we stray off the path. We get out of the light and we step over into the darkness. Don't trust your conscience. Okay? Don't trust it there, because when we allow sin and other things in, and we'll discuss that in a moment as well, our consciences or our hearts can be deceived, and they're limited to a degree. I mention that to say, because you hear somebody say, "Oh, just what? Trust your gut." No, that's not always the wise thing to do. Or, "Hey, just do whatever feels right." No, that can get you in trouble. In fact, the Bible tells us our own hearts can deceive us. Jeremiah 17:9, "The heart is deceitful above all things." So we've got to be extremely careful when following our conscience. In fact, the Bible says that we can go as far as to losing that conscience by giving ourselves over to sin and the devil. Romans 1, beginning in 21, "Because although they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools. They changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man, and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. Therefore God also gave them up to uncleanness and the lust of their hearts, to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this reason God gave them up to vile passions, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting." So I'm really giving a preface to this point by saying, if our hearts are not right with God, we can't listen to what our hearts are communicating. But if our hearts are right with God, we can trust our heart, because God is going to guide the heart. He's going to communicate that heart, that conscience, if you will, to do what it needs to do. In fact, Ecclesiastes 3, verse 11, the end of that verse, Solomon wrote, "Also He, God, has put eternity into man's heart." God's put eternity into our heart. If we sit still long enough, and we're busy people, I get it, but if we can find time to sit still long enough, if we can be quiet in our busy lives long enough, our conscience will allow us to understand and know the difference between right and wrong. It will allow us to know the desire for justice to take place and wrongs to be made right. Our conscience, our hearts will have desires if we sit still long enough and listen. Our hearts and consciences will have desires this world cannot fill. By the way, how did that happen? And where does that communication come from? When your heart tells you, "No, Terry, this is not right to do," well, it's got to be God. You see, you know these things not because you were taught them as a child, As a teenager, even as an adult, you know these things because someone wrote them on your heart. God communicates to us through our hearts, through our conscience. Thirdly, this morning, God communicates to us through our circumstances. Again, it takes some spiritual discernment to know what God is teaching or saying to us through our circumstances and the circumstances of others. Like with our consciences or our hearts, we got to be careful in how we interpret what is being communicated through these life circumstances. But to me, there is no question that God is communicating to us through the things that we're going through, through things that are happening, through things that are around us, and also through the things that others may be going through as well. Especially if we are trusting God by guiding us through answered prayer. God works through opportunities in the circumstances that we face. Every prayer that you pray is answered. Every prayer that you pray is answered. Now that prayer may not be answered the way you want it to be answered. That prayer may be answered, yes, right away, here you go. And through that circumstance, we see God, right? In the car ride on the way here, you know what we did, right? How have we seen God lately? I don't have time to tell you, but I've got a great story to tell you, my personal self, how I've seen God lately. Through a circumstance that happened, through a place that I was sitting, I saw God. And I heard God. Did I hear God the way God spoke to Moses? Absolutely not. He didn't say, "Tarry, tarry," through a burning bush. But through that answered prayer and through the circumstances that happened, I heard and saw God. Sometimes God's answer is not right now. Sometimes God's answer is no. And if we're praying for His will to be done, we want it to be no. Now when we put those first three points together, creation, conscience, and circumstances, you know how God is communicating if we put that in one category? Through natural revelation. Those are the things in nature that reminds us that God is still alive and He is still the I Am and He's still communicating today. But you know what? There's also divine revelation. And here's how that goes. How is God still communicating with us today? Through Jesus Christ. John 1, verse 1, and then verse 14. In the beginning was the Word, that's Jesus. And the Word, that's Jesus, was with God. And the Word, that's Jesus, was God. And the Word, you got it right, that's Jesus, became flesh and did what? Dwelt among us. And we have seen His glory as the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus is the final and full revelation of God. In fact, He told them, or the angel told them, you will call His name Emmanuel. Why? Because it literally means He's God with us. Through Jesus Christ today, God is communicating. He is saying to us today, I'm right here. Well, how can you recognize the voice of God? Get to know the voice of Jesus. He told His disciples in John 14, Jesus told His disciples, if you have seen Me, you have seen the Father. If you hear from Jesus, You are hearing from God. Now, how do I hear from Jesus, preacher? If you want to hear God speak, then you need to read the red. That means this, the words in red, if you have a red letter edition Bible, are the words of Jesus Christ. When Jesus speaks, guess what? God is also speaking. Well, He spoke those words, I get it, but this Bible's alive. The Word of God is living. It is alive. And so what Jesus spoke still is present today. It's still being spoken today. You want to hear what God says to you? Read what Jesus said to you. God communicates through natural revelation, through things like creation, through things like our conscience, through things like circumstance. But He also speaks to us through natural revelation, things like Jesus Christ. But what else? The canon of Scripture. Again, I know I could have used Bible here, but I needed to see. But as I got to looking at that, canon of Scripture, you know what the word canon means? It means standard or measuring stick. The measuring stick, if you will, of divine revelation of God communicating to us is set and established in His holy word. And we hold it in our hands. We have it in our pockets. And probably we have it on us at all times. Hopefully we have it in our hearts and in our minds. If it's closed, if it's turned off, if it's thrown in the back seat, if it's thrown in the closet, if it's thrown on the dining room table, if it never gets open, we cannot hear God speak to us. You see, where the Bible speaks is where God speaks. You want to hear some powerful passages about that? You want to hear the Bible give proof of God speaking through itself? How about Isaiah 40, verse 8? The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. How about Matthew 24, 35? Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. Hebrews 4, 12. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. How about 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17? All Scripture is God-breathed or given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Or how about 1 Peter 1:21? For no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. Divine revelation. God speaking to us today. He's communicating to us today through Jesus Christ and through His Scripture, through His holy word. Romans 10:17 then makes it very critical, right? So faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. When we gather together, what do we do? What do we do in Bible class when we gather together? Teach the Word. What do we do together right now? What are we doing together? We're opening the Word. We're teaching the Word. Why? Because we need to hear from God. Every day of our lives, we need to open the Word. Why? Because we need to hear from God. This is why quiet time and Bible study and all those things are so important. Because when you and I open the Bible and spend a time alone with the Lord, He is communicating to us through His Word, through His Spirit. In fact, in Romans 8, verse 14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together. Put it all together now. We got one more point to go, so stay with me, all right? Put it all together. This is very important. God is the always God. God spoke to Moses in Exodus 3. God is still communicating with us today. He didn't speak to us. He doesn't cry out, Terry, Terry, like He did Moses, Moses. But He's still crying out. How's He doing it? Through natural revelation. I'll get it out in a minute. Through natural revelation, through our conscience, through creation, through our circumstances, but also through divine revelation, through Jesus Christ, through the canon of Scripture, and through the church. Now, when I say through the church, how is God communicating through the church? Well, certainly we can understand through Scripture that through the teaching and preaching of God's Word, what we're doing right now, what we did earlier today, God has established teaching and preaching as a means of how He communicates His truth today. In fact, Romans 10, 14 and 15, how then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. Now, I'm not saying that about me to flower myself up. I am one evangelist here. But we're all called to evangelism. We're all called to preach the living Word of God. So in the wisdom of God, the church, right? That's you, that's me. We've got to proclaim God's Word. And in the proclamation of His Word, we can declare that He's still communicating. God is speaking when His Word is being declared, and He's doing it when the Word is declared honestly and with clarity. That's why there is wisdom in not skipping out on Bible class, in not skipping out on worship. You see, I don't get a bonus if we have a certain number in Bible class. So I'm not preaching on it for material gain. I'm preaching on it because God needs us to tell others that He's speaking to us today, and here's how I know through His Word. This is what God wants you to hear today that you need to believe in Him and through His Son, Jesus Christ. And you also need to confess His name. After all, we need to tell this to people. If you confess Him before others, He'll confess you before His Father. But you got to turn right from your sins before you can do that. You see, you got sin in your life, and I'm going to talk about that in just a moment quickly. But we need to tell this. This is what the Bible says. You need to turn. You need to repent. You need to get out of that sin. You also need to be immersed in water. Bury your old self. Be baptized into Jesus Christ. And what happens in the water then? Well, God will contact you with the precious, life-saving, life-giving blood of Jesus Christ. That is still being communicated today through the Word. But are we communicating it through the church for others? natural revelation God communicates. Through creation, through our conscious, through circumstances. Divine revelation, God still communicates through Jesus Christ, through His Holy Word, and through His church. Well, Terry, it gets down to it. Whoops. It gets down to it. I can't hear God communicating today. I can read these words and not understand them. I can read these words and they mean nothing to me. I can hear you talk and I can just hear you talk. I don't hear what you're saying. I just hear you speaking. Why is that? Well, maybe there is a sin problem. Sin prevents us from hearing God and obeying His voice. 1 Corinthians 2:14, but the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. Chances are, I love you enough to tell you the truth, right? I am one of those that God wants me to communicate, right? He wants me to communicate what He wants you to hear Him say. There may be some in here today that's listening to my voice but not hearing God through His inspired Word. You see, that's what the Bible calls a natural person. Person that hears me talking, you came and you checked off everything, you sang the song, you didn't really pay attention to them, you don't really care, you're just ready for me to get done preaching. You see, that person, according to 2 Corinthians 4, verse 4, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. If you've got sin blocking your hearing today, it's time to get rid of the sin. But then also, there's another problem. Stubbornness. Hebrews 3, 7 and 8, and then verse 13. Today, if you hear His voice. Hear this now. Written a long time ago, but it's applicable today, right? Today, if you hear His voice. Now, He's not going to call out to you and call your name. But you hear through His Word. You hear through the things we've talked about. You hear Him calling you today. If you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion on the day of testing in the wilderness. But exhort one another every day as long as it's called today that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. I believe the Hebrew writer is saying this, quit being stubborn. You hear God, you know what God says, you know what He expects. He is the always God, so He's still communicating, and He's still calling your name. Quit being stubborn. It's like calloused skin on your hands. I get these calluses from lifting weights, and sometimes it's a little embarrassing to me, honestly. Because I'll go to give one of the little kids fives and they'll look at my hand and be like, what is that? And I'm like, oh, just knock me up then. But what is that callus? That callus is where loose, soft skin rubbed off, right? Some people get it from hard work and you can insert the preacher joke there, right? Okay? But that's where the skin has rubbed off. And then it's hardened and it's hardened and it's hardened. That skin is so hard right there that I could take a needle and poke it and never feel it. Why? Because it's so hardened. That's how our hearts can get. I've sat and I've heard a lot of sermons preached. I've been in a lot of this. I've been in a lot of that. But I'm not willing to change. Well, then that gets self in the way. We're too busy listening to ourselves. We're too busy being wrapped up in ourselves. We're too busy living for ourselves. And as a result, we cannot hear God calling anymore. So what do we do about it? Let's go back to Moses just for a moment. You don't have to go there in your Bibles, but go there in your minds. Let's learn from him. He was waiting in a desert wilderness for 40 years before he heard God speak. How do I know that? It was read to us from Acts 7. Stephen talking about Moses in Acts 7, verses 30 through 32. Moses was 40 years old when he killed the Egyptian beating the Hebrew. Sometimes we don't think about this, but let's put it in perspective. He was 40 years old when that happened, and then he fled. When he encountered the burning bush, he was 80. Well, that's not very encouraging, is it? 40 years before Moses heard God. But what was Moses doing in those 40 years? In Exodus 3, verse 1, Moses was keeping the flock of his father-in-law. In those 40 years, God was molding him. Even though he couldn't hear him, he was molding him. He was helping him understand what it means to lead, to shepherd. God was working on him. If you go through a point in your life where God seems silent, keep doing what you're doing. Keep waking up every day reading your Bibles. Keep coming to worship and Bible class and getting wise counsel. Keep walking in truth. Keep taking up your cross every day. But if it's sin and it's self and it's stubbornness, get out of the way. The I Am that spoke to Moses is still trying to communicate with you today. But if you're not his, he can't hear you. And you can't hear him. Today, if you have a need, it's been laid out for you. Let's come right now as together we stand and sing.